when I came and sat on the stage, Brother Keith jokingly had asked me, "Well, you got a 2-hour message ready?" And I said, "I don't think I've ever been anywhere close to 2 hours with my preaching." Well, I told him my average audience size is, the age is probably about 8 years old on a normal weekly basis. So I said, we don't get anywhere close to an hour, 2 hours. So it's when Pastor, I want to, of course, publicly thank Pastor for giving me the opportunity to come and preach, and don't take it lightly that he asked me to. And I started thinking about what I was going to preach on. And, you know, usually I've got a couple different either options or things I've been thinking about. And the Lord kind of just drew me back to this. And it's actually something, a series I've been going through with our kids. You just won't get a series. You'll get it all in one because, like I said, I can't go more than probably 15 minutes until they start ignoring me. And so I titled it Small Choices, Big Consequences. Right? And of course, we know that the choices that we make are important in life. Right? You make choices all the time. Of course, there's some big ones, there's some small ones. We don't have a life-changing decision probably every day of our life. It just doesn't happen. But the small choices that we make in life end up leading to big things. And as I started thinking about it, you know, most people don't just ruin their lives overnight. But also on the flip side, they don't build a godly life overnight either. It's not something that happens overnight. It's a series of decisions that get made, and sometimes we start going down the right path, and then sometimes we turn and make some wrong decisions, go down another path. But ultimately, life becomes the decisions that we make, and we tend to focus on the big decisions, big moments, probably in life, but the small choices that we make shape our life a lot more than just those big individual moments do. And as we look tonight, we're going to start in Galatians chapter number 6, and we'll look at verse 7 and 8. And so as we look at this, the first thing we'll come across is the principle of sowing and reaping. And it's, of course, a biblical principle I think most of us are familiar with. And verse number 6 starts out and says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap the Spirit, shall Spirit reap life everlasting." And so we see just a couple simple verses, but we see, first of all, in verse number 6, the principle of sowing and reaping. And understanding that this principle isn't just a recommendation. It's not just something that, you know, the Bible says, you know, it'd probably be a good idea if you make some good decisions and then good things will happen. No, it's a principle, meaning that this is what's going to happen, right? When we make decisions in life, there's always consequences to it. And when we hear that word consequence, you know, I would say, especially when I was teaching this to the kids, of course, the immediate thought for them is, yeah, I do something wrong, I get in trouble. Of course, that's just, when they hear consequences, that's the first thing that comes to their mind. But the reality of consequences are, there's bad ones, of course, if we make the wrong decisions, but there's also good ones. When we make the right decisions, good consequences come from it. All consequences are is the result of the action that we've taken. And so, of course, there can be good ones, there can be bad ones. But every action that we take, every choice that we make, it's like a seed being planted, right? To go back to our principle of sowing and reaping. Of course, when you think about that, the common thought is, you know what, sowing seeds, planting, and you know, the idea behind that, of course, for doing that is, you know what, I tell the kids, and you know, it's a little bit different environment, so we'll do some different things, and I'll bring in, you know, a little thing of seeds and be like, now if you're going to try to plant this, would you just stick one little seed here and one little here? No, you just throw them out. And so with the principle of sowing and reaping, we look and we see that, you know what, if we look at our choices that we make kind of as seeds that we're throwing out, it kind of goes with the example that the Bible sets of sowing and reaping. And every action, every choice that we make is like a seed planted. And here's the thing, when it comes to our choices, every choice that we make, it always produces something. You know, the choices that we make, it's not that we just make a choice and it didn't really matter. And in the grand scheme of things, we probably make some choices and it feels like it doesn't matter, right? There's probably some routines that we have. You know, for instance, when we wake up in the morning, there's probably a few things that you just automatically go and do. And it probably doesn't even seem like a choice. It's just part of your routine. It's part of what you do every single day. But the reality of it, it still is a choice that you make to do those things. And you do them for a reason, right? There's not just I woke up, brushed my teeth, I don't know why I did it. You know, it's because you want to take care of your teeth. It's because you want to be healthy. You don't want to have bad breath, right? There's reasons that we do all these things. The choices that we make, there's reasons behind them. And so when we look at it as every seed produces, every choice that we make produces something, you know what? Some of our choices might be hidden, right? Might not just be out in the open where everybody sees it and everybody knows about it. They might be hidden. But the thing about that is, even if they're hidden, they're still important, right? Just because not everybody's going to see a choice that you make doesn't mean it's not an important choice. Doesn't mean it's not going to impact your life. Doesn't mean that it's just to be ignored, right? Time doesn't erase the choices that we make. Usually it reveals them. So normally when we make these choices and we do these things, you know what? Normally a lot of choices that we'll make that end up maybe not being the best choices probably are choices that not everyone sees right away. It's just a reality. You don't have somebody around you 24/7. But ultimately, it creates a habit, creates a pattern of the way that we act and the things that we do. And it goes back to the biblical principle. You know what? What you reap, or what you sow, that's what you will reap. Meaning that, you know what, there's going to be a consequence for those choices that we make. And we're going to see both sides of it, because it's not all just bad, right? Of course, it might seem like when we talk about consequences and all these things, that usually it just has that connotation of being bad all the time. But it's not. We can see where when we make the right choices, God wants to bless us so much in our lives. And like I said, talking to the kids, it's funny some of the reactions you'll get from them. Because I said this the other week. I said, now, I want you guys to imagine, you know, when a farmer goes out and he plants corn, and then he expects some tomatoes to come out of it. And then you got some of them that just like, why would he do that? You know, they give you just giant reaction, and it's like, just stick with me for a second, right? And ultimately, you know, if, you know, a farmer went out and did that, we'd be like, that's such a crazy, why would you ever expect that? But the reality is, in our lives, a lot of times we choose not to follow the things that God wants for us, but we still expect him to bless us. So we're kind of in that same boat of, you know, it's like planting corn and expecting tomatoes to come. It makes no sense. But it's the same way for us in our lives where, you know, if I'm not following God, why am I going to expect God to bless my life? It just doesn't make sense. So I want us to think about this. You know, what are some seeds that we're planting maybe in our minds? You know, what are maybe some choices that we make just in our mind, and we say, you know, that's probably not a good choice for me to make. You know, maybe it's some choices in relationships, maybe in our spiritual life. You know, and we'll come back and we'll look at some of these things, but you know, that principle of sowing and reaping, it's a principle in the Bible for a reason, and it's found multiple places in the Bible. Our scripture tonight's not the first place you would see it in scripture, but we see that, you know, it comes through life all the time, right? Small choices are going to shape character. And if we turn over to Luke chapter number 16, verse 10, we look and we see it says that he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. We see that small choices make a difference. You know, the things that we choose to do make a difference. You know, character is built in small moments. You know, it's not just built in a big moment where people are going to see you. And, you know, I've heard my entire life, character is what you're doing when nobody's looking. And it's true. And it's one of those things that, you know, if truly somebody's character, it's not just going to be what you see on the outside. It's going to be what they do all throughout their life. And so who you are in private is who you truly are. Little choices are going to reveal where your heart is. And, of course, that's not going to be something everyone's going to see. Of course, your spouse might see it a lot more than anybody else is going to see it, but ultimately even they're not going to see everything. Our relationship with God, it's just that. It's an individual relationship. And it can be as great or it can be as bad as we want it to be. And so, talking about the small moments, repetition forms habits. And I've talked about this before, and it just comes to my mind every time I think about somebody creating habits. And it was my junior year in high school, and we went to a youth activity, and I remember Brother Scott Pauley was preaching, and he talked to us about forming habits, and it just never leaves my mind anytime I think about habits. And he just challenged us that day to create good habits, and he challenged us to do it for 30 days, and it becomes a habit. Do it for a month, and it'll become a habit. Whatever it is you want to do, reading your Bible, praying, whatever it is, he said, if you'll do it for 30 days, it'll become a habit, and then it just becomes easy. And so I think about that all the time when I think about habits. But ultimately, repetition is what forms those habits, right? I wrote down kind of, it goes in this order. It goes, you know, the choices that we make lead to actions, right? Actions that we take, which lead to habits, which lead to character. And it can easily, it goes in that order to where, you know, making those choices that, hey, I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to do what I know I should be doing. Whatever that might be in your life. For everyone, it's going to probably look a little bit different. But whatever it is, you know, making that choice that day is going to help because it leads to that action that we're doing, which eventually leads to the habit, which eventually, when we create those good habits, leads to good character. And so what you repeatedly do will eventually become habit and shapes your character. Faithfulness starts small. Just like our Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says, you know what? He that is faithful and that which is least is also faithful much. You know what? It starts with little things. And I can remember when I knew that God wanted me to go into ministry, and I think this is probably similar for most people that make that decision and know that God wants them to go into ministry. The temptation is you want to just dive into everything, right? You're fired up and you just want to go and you want to do, feels like a million different things. Luckily, I had some wise men around me that said, Stephen, don't go and do 20 different ministries right off the bat. Like, focus on one and then build and build and build. And, you know, thankfully, it was good advice, because I've seen time and time again somebody get on fire for God and then burn themselves out and then just say, nah, it's not for me. But luckily, when we start small, right, and starting small might look different for everyone. And of course, we might already be in a position in our life where, you know, we've been following God for some time now, and it might be, you know, we don't have to start as small as, hey, we should be reading our Bible in the mornings. Maybe that's something you've already done. Awesome. That's great. But at the same time, there's always room to improve. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how long you've studied the Bible. It doesn't matter how long you've had a relationship with God. It can always get better. That's the great thing, is that there's never going to be a limit to our relationship with God. You know, as we continue to grow, we're never going to reach Him where He's at. And so the great thing is there's always going to be room to grow. God doesn't always trust us with big opportunities at first. You know, as much as sometimes we might want it, we might want something to go our way, he doesn't always trust us with big opportunities at first. But He is always watching what we do with those small responsibilities. He's always paying attention. He always knows if we're faithful in the small things. And just like our verse tells us, you know, those that are faithful in the small things, they're going to be faithful in the big things. Right? That's in Scripture for a reason. So faithfulness always starts small. You know, and I put down some examples of that. You know, and it might start small, but this is some things that I think everyone can go through times of struggle with. You know, choosing to tell the truth when lying would be easier. You know, and that can apply so many areas in life. Of course, I think for working with the kids ministry, of course, that's a big thing. It's constantly, you should not be lying. You know, you should be respecting your parents. You should be obedient to your parents. You know, we hit on it time and time again. But it's not just for kids. You know, there's plenty of adults that get caught and get in the habit of lying, and it destroys their life. Maybe for you, it needs to be choosing prayer over distraction. I think for me, that's sometimes where I can fall in, is, you know what, my prayer life, sometimes I can get distracted by the things of the world. I can sit here and say, you know, there's times where it's sometimes it's a struggle, right, to do what I really want to do with it. So maybe choosing prayer over distractions in life. Maybe choosing patience over anger. Like I said, I'm not going to know where everyone in this room's at with these situations, but I think if we can make those small steps, it leads to big things. And just like the title of tonight's message put, you know, small choices, big consequences. Those small choices that we make in life lead to big things. Small compromises lead to big consequences. And we're going to look at Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, verse 15. And I came across this verse, and it's interesting, you know, sometimes the way the Lord uses some verses in your mind. And I've got a really good friend of mine who kind of started a brand and started doing some things. He's a big outdoors guy, and he started trapping and catching, like, some coyotes and some foxes and different things that are just a nuisance on people's land. And he shoots some cool videos, and you'll see him sometimes. He's got all the thermal stuff, all that kind of stuff. And so as I ran across this verse, I'm like, man, that just reminds me of my buddy right here. And it says, you know what, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Right? Small compromises lead to big consequences. You know what? The short little verse there, you know, when it's talking about, essentially, you know, foxes getting to the grapes. Foxes destroying what they've been growing, what they've been having in life. But here's the thing. Sin does the same thing in our life. Sin is like the foxes in this verse, to where, you know, when we allow them in, you know, if somebody just allowed, maybe they had chickens, maybe they had, you know, some other things, and they just allowed foxes on their property, it wouldn't end well, right? When we allow sin just in our lives, and we allow it to kind of linger there and kind of have a place in our life, it leads to bad things, right? And here's the thing, sin rarely starts big. It's not very often that sin just starts huge, where it's something we would say, man, that's, they're really battling with a ton of sin right there. It doesn't start that way, right? Sin starts with just small little things, right? It always begins small. Maybe it's a thought that crosses our mind. And of course, you know what, there comes times where, you know, you don't just control sometimes thoughts that come across your mind, but we control what we do with that thought. Maybe it's a thought, maybe it's a glance at looking at something we know we shouldn't be looking at, or maybe it's just even a small compromise on something we know we shouldn't compromise on. No, that's small sin, right? It's not looked at big. Right, and it not looked at as a big deal a lot of times in life, but we see where small sin leads to big things. Small sins desensitize the heart. What once bothered you, when you allow sin into your life, begins to not really bother you as much, and in whatever area that might be, and begins to desensitize our hearts, really, our heart, and maybe the convictions that we had at one time, they begin to weaken. Maybe our standards begin to become less and less because we just allowed sin, just that little bit of foothold in our life. So then we start compromising on some things. Compromise, it ends up growing. You know, one step away from God oftentimes leads to another. There's plenty of times, I think, that we all know somebody that was a member of a church, maybe involved in church at one point in time, and then eventually just got out of it. You know, it all starts with just one little compromise, and it usually leads to another and another and another. Of course, this is not to say we're not going to go through times of trouble, times of, you know, maybe we've slipped and fallen a little bit and come back. You know, that's part of life. You know, we're human. We have a sin nature. And so I've heard this, I guess, really, I heard it a lot when I was a teenager in the youth group. They would say it over and over again, and kind of in the moment, you just really don't sometimes fully grasp what they're trying to get across to you, but it becomes true. You know what they would say all the time? You know what? Sin's going to take you further than you ever wanted to go. And I can look back and look at some people in the youth group that I can say, man, in the youth group, they would have said they never would have ended up there. But they did, because they let sin have a hold in their life. Don't we have some biblical examples of some people that let sin take a hold in their life? And I just wrote down two, and there's plenty more. But I want us to look at and think about, you know what, David. You know what? One look led to adultery, led to destruction for David. But even before that look, it started because he wasn't where he was supposed to be. You know, he was supposed to be in the battle. That's where he's supposed to be. But because he wasn't there, and then he saw something he wasn't supposed to see, right? Which, whether he could control it or not, who knows, right? But then he acted on it. And that's what sin does to us. You know, it doesn't just start with something huge. You know, it might start as simple as, man, we just ended up being somewhere we shouldn't have been. And it might start with that. But ultimately, what it led to with David was destruction. Samson, one small compromise, cutting his hair, right? Small compromise. You'd think it wouldn't be a big deal. But because of that, it led to his total downfall. One little compromise. And so when I thought of this, I think big failures are usually the result of many warnings that were ignored. And I came across a story, and I shared it with the kids this week. And in 1986, NASA was launching the Space Shuttle Challenger. It was supposed to launch in front of millions of people. It was supposed to be one of the proudest moments for NASA. But just 73 seconds after liftoff, the shuttle broke apart in the sky. And of course, the immediate question becomes, well, what caused it? You know, what happened? And investigators, as they began to look at it, they discovered it came down to something incredibly small, a rubber O-ring seal in the rocket's boosters. But here's the thing, engineers had warned that the cold weather that morning might make the O-ring fail. It seemed like just a super small concern, something that easily just got overlooked. They said, I'm sure when it was brought up to somebody, they said, it won't be that big a deal. We'll be fine, right? But that small decision to launch anyway led to a great failure, and it ended up being that seven people lost their lives. All because that small warning was ignored. And here's the thing. All throughout Scripture, God warns us about sin. He warns us about it. If we choose to ignore it, it leads to destruction. So when we talked about the little foxes, right? And the little things that maybe we just tolerate, we let in, that we know shouldn't be there, but maybe just those small things that we let in. You know, what would those be in your life? I want you to think about that. What would that be in my life? What have I let in my life that I know shouldn't be there, but I've just been saying it's not a big deal? Because I'm sure we all have them, right? What are you allowing that you once resisted, right? I'm sure there's something that once, there was a day where you said, there's no way I would allow that in my life. I'm sure there's something there, right? And just so we think about it, right? So far we've kind of been more on the negative side, right? And so we'll bring it back to more positive, you know, and looking at, you know, when we make the small right choices, it also leads to big blessings in our life. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall also reap if we faint not." Right? When we make these small right choices, it leads to some big blessings. Right? God honors consistency. He does. He honors when people are consistent. You know what? God's expectation for us is never perfection. He just expects faithfulness. And that's the great thing about God is, because if he relied on us doing the right thing all the time, we'd all fall short. But he just relies on us being faithful in the things that we know we should do. Showing up daily matters. Right? We talked about creating a habit. Talked about it being a daily thing. And you know what? use the example of when I was a teenager and he preached on, you know, just 30 days. If you show up every day for those 30 days and do that one thing, it becomes a habit, it becomes easy. But showing up matters. You know, I can think about some situations in my life where just me physically showing up matters to some people. You know, I've got three nieces, and when I show up to their ball game, it matters to them. And I try to, with all of our kids, on Sunday mornings, I tell them, hey, get your parents to give me a ball schedule, and I'll make at least one of your games. And I went to one of the kids, I went to his basketball game this year. He was playing in the rec league all the way over in Athens. So I went all the way out there, watched his game, and you know what? It made a difference for him, me just showing up. And it's the same way in our life. When we show up and we do what we're supposed to do on a daily basis, it matters. God sees that faithfulness. Growth is often slow, and it's often something nobody else sees. We might not even see it ourselves. When we're truly growing, it might seem like nothing's happening. But here's the thing. Roots grow always before fruit appears. Right? When you're talking about a fruit tree or anything else, you want the roots that are underground that nobody sees are always growing way before you ever see that first fruit. And it'll be the same way in our lives. You may not see immediate results, but we just know God's working. We know when I'm doing the things that I know I'm supposed to do, I know God is going to work in my life. He promises it throughout Scripture. The harvest will come. You know, it says due season right there. It says in due season. Means that it's going to happen in the right time, not necessarily my time. Right? Because when it's up to me, sometimes I want stuff to happen just immediately. I want it to happen, and I want it to happen right now. But that's not the way God always works. Sometimes it might be a long time before you ever see the results of doing the right thing. But they come. Those blessings always come. Some examples, you know, of course, and you know what, I've been going through this series with our kids, and we're actually going through the last part of it this Sunday. So some of the things you might be like, that seems like a kid's thing. Well, it's because I took my kids' notes and added more to it and changed some words around and made different things. But you know, some simple examples. But guess what? It still applies to us as adults. You know what? Daily reading our Bible builds spiritual strength. It's going to build your strength. Consistent kindness is going to strengthen our relationships with everyone. Regular discipline is going to build a stable life. It doesn't matter who you are. Those things are going to happen. Ultimately, some of your future, you're choosing today. In Proverbs chapter number 4, verse 23, we see it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We see that, you know what? Our heart is important. Things that we do are important. You know what? The direction that we're going to head down is going to be based on some choices that we make in life. Some choices are easy. Some choices are we know we should just automatically do. Some choices are going to be more difficult. I can remember there's been some choices I've had to make in my life that weren't easy choices. And I can think back on it, and even some men that were mentors of mine might have even said, hey, I don't think you should do that. But ultimately, when you choose to follow God, it all works out. But the choices that we make determine some of are going to determine the path that we go down. Your path matters more than your intentions, right? You can have all the best intentions in the world, right? But if we're not following God, it's not going to matter, right? We might say, I want to have a closer relationship with God, but if our actions don't show that, we're not going to get there. God never wants us to go down the wrong path. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And that plan, he's got a perfect plan for us. But that plan comes with us doing some things that we know we should be doing. Right? I can't, just like we talked about in one of the earlier points, I can't look and go completely away from God and expect for God to get me where he wants me to be. Right? If I'm not following God, even in the small things that I know I should be doing, I'm not gonna be in God's will for my life. We should make it a point to guard our heart. What we allow in there will eventually come out in us, and that goes in so many areas of life. What we allow in our hearts eventually going to come out. Influence matters. Who we spend time around matters. Of course, I think during my teenage years that applied so much more than maybe it did now, because I'm not, as a teenager, you tend to be pretty easily influenced by your friends. Once you kind of grow out of that, you know, it's a little more, they don't have quite the same influence. But we still need to be careful who we surround ourselves with. If we surround ourselves with people that want nothing to do with God, we're probably not going to bring them up. They're probably going to bring us down. So surround ourselves with the right kind of people, right friendships, put us in the right situations in life to follow God. Maybe it's the things we watch. Maybe it's the things we listen to. Is it honoring to the Lord? Is it going to be something to where the Lord's going to be pleased with me doing that? Daily decisions are going to shape the direction that you go in life. You don't accidentally become a godly person. It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't just happen by chance. It doesn't happen because, well, I got lucky and just started following God. No, it comes from the choices that we make in life. And when we choose to follow God, it never disappoints. Right? You don't also just drift into a strong life. You decide to do it. You just don't become a godly parent, good parent. You don't just all of a sudden become a godly friend, maybe a godly mentor for someone. You don't just become that. It's something that you spend time and you spend effort in your own personal relationship with God, and then it comes. The power of one decision can change everything. You know, we talked about so far just focusing mainly on our small decisions. But there does come a place where some big decisions truly make a difference in our life. While small choices add up, you know, if I choose to make the right decision today, it can start me down a whole new direction. Start me down the right direction. Maybe that decision, like I said, it can look different for everyone, right? Maybe it's that decision to forgive someone is going to set me down a new path. Maybe it's bitterness that we've held on to for who knows what reason. But maybe that one choice to forgive is what's going to set us down a new path and getting closer to God. Maybe it's one decision. Maybe it's to get serious about God. Maybe God's worked on your heart for a long time about doing something, and you've pushed it away and you've said no. Maybe it's that one big decision to get serious about whatever God's dealt with you about. You know what? That would set you down a whole new path to follow in God. Maybe it's one decision to stop compromising, whatever that might look like. Stop compromising in our life. Maybe we make that decision, and maybe that sets us down a whole new path, and we end up feeling like a whole new person. Maybe it's the one decision, maybe to start obeying. Maybe we start obeying what God's told us to do, and that can change our entire life. No one plans for a major fall. And nobody plans on just a life being their life going down a bad direction and kind of being ruined. Nobody plans on that major fall. It begins with small steps and wrong decisions. Just like the title said, you know, small choices that have big consequences. And of course, you know what, it can look different in everyone's life, but every choice matters. You know, the choices that you make matter in life. It does. You know what? Maybe you need to look and say, you know what? What small habit do I need to start today? And here's the great thing: day's not over. It can start today. You know, and I remember when we were at that youth event, and it was like an early morning session. It was like, I think it was like 8 o'clock. So I might have been the only teenager that actually listened to that, because I don't know why they did a session that early. But I remember when he did that session, and you know what, he encouraged us. He said, start it today. He said, if you wait till tomorrow, you won't do it. He said, start it today. Start that habit today, right? For 30 days, start it today. Maybe in your life, maybe you need to ask yourself, you know what? What small compromises do I need to stop today? What one decision do I need to make today? And whatever that might be. And ultimately, you know what? If you change those small choices in life, it leads to big things. And the thing is, when you change those small choices, it leads to new directions in your life. And ultimately, you know what, that change in direction will change your life. Of course, you know, I realize I'm talking to Wednesday night crowd, faithful people in the church, but ultimately this is something everyone needs to hear. And like I said, you might think, well, I don't have anything major that I need to change. I think we can all say that I have small things that I need to change in my life. I think that's an easy thing that we can all say, yeah, I've got some things I can change in my life. But that's where it ultimately stands. Small choices have big consequences.